is this might sting. Or another way to say it is the last 2%. Because God loves us enough not to let us stay where we are. This is super important. God is, as we know, he's a God of transformation, not information. And so the idea that we got to continually grow, to look to his word, to respond to his spirit, and to help those around us do the same. So I'm thrilled about this week's topic. I liked what Kyle did last week. He had a couple of scenarios, just examples of what we all face out there in our community groups. And so let me give you a couple of those quickly. A husband has expressed to his community his desire to be more kind and loving to his wife. While at dinner, you see him snapping at her, and he's frustrated, and he's rolling his eyes. Well, what do you do in that circumstance? The second one, you have a couple in your community who answers every question and monopolizes the prayer and share time. I'm sure that never happens in any of your community groups. What do you do? How do you shepherd that couple? You have a couple in your community that say they've prayed about it, and they really feel it's time for them to leave community. But there's unresolved conflict in the group, and it involves them. How can you help them? Well, most of us do pretty well sharing the 98%, but tonight we're going to focus on the 2%. Because, as Robbie said, that may well be the blind spot that your brother can't see. And so it's super important for us to be willing to ask probing questions and to lean into these kind of somewhat difficult conversations. I've left a handout on your table that it's called The Art of Having Hard Conversations. And Dr. Jay Burns was a big part of pulling a lot of this together. It's long. It's like 8 pages. So we're not going to spend any time at all on it tonight. But take it home. It is a resource. Lots of scripture in there. And it just helps you understand in a practical way how to really say and be prepared for these 2% and difficult conversations. So we want to be talk about a little bit about this idea of being a mirror to one another, because that's really what effective community does. And so what I see in terms of actions or characters that may be hindering this person's desire to be all that Christ called them to be, that's really what we're discussing. I love this idea that where there's smoke, there's usually fire. So when you see or hear something that just doesn't sound right to you, just lean in a little bit. I'll give you a specific example in our lives. I mean, we were involved in a small community reengaged group, and this couple had traveled down the road of infidelity. And it had been really difficult, but the spouse that had experienced the infidelity was willing to stay, and they were continuing to invest in the relationship, but they just weren't going anywhere. You could tell they weren't gaining any traction. And so I had some time away with this friend, and I just asked him. I said, hey, you know, have you been entirely truthful? And, you know, it was quiet, and I said, I just felt the need to ask him, is this the only event that has happened in your marriage? Was there another relationship that you had? And he goes, yeah, there was. And I said, okay, so that now we're getting somewhere. Now we've got to go back and start over with your wife. And obviously that was a really tough time for him, and even tougher for his wife to receive the second time. But honestly, now they're building a foundation of trust and relationship. And that just isn't something that comes naturally. None of us want to ask those hard things. You know, my friends kid me all the time. They go, oh, you love conflict. And that is absolutely not true. No one loves conflict. But I do love conflict done in a God-honoring way, because it transforms all of us. It transforms the one that's helping and the one that's being helped. So this is valuable stuff. Just this idea of let me love me enough to tell me the truth. Not telling me is not loving me. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of the friend. We were just talking about it at our table in the back. This is super important. If you're the one on the receiving side, let others know that you want them to tell you what they see continually, especially if it's a person who is shy, quiet. You need that man or woman in your life. You need them seeing and observing the holes in your game, the way you treat your spouse. And so maybe the more, in my case, louder, more the type A people, they need to continue to invite the softer speakers into their life. And make sure they feel heard and welcomed into the conversation. And it has to happen continually. You can't just do it once. We have a couple in our community group that it just takes a long time to draw her out. But man, when she finally comes, she brings the heat. And it's awesome. I mean, I welcome it every time, because it's always biblically based and it's wise and thought out exceedingly well. So I mentioned the handout to you. Just, you know, do with that what you want. But let me focus on just a couple of scriptures that are, they'll be super valuable. At least they have been to me. Okay, so we all have conflict. We all need to get better at it. That is a critical element. What we need is to change our view of conflict. We've all talked about that around here for a long time, that it truly is an opportunity to glorify God, to grow ourselves and to serve people around us. But here's the important thing. How we have hard conversations and admonish one another demonstrates to a watching world why Christians are different. This is so important in the business community. I see it all the time. I might not use a specific scripture when I'm trying to reconcile a conflict at work or in the business community, but if you use a wisdom principle, even to a non-believer, they kind of stop and go, wow, that really makes sense. And so we've just got to get equipped, and we've got to demonstrate to a watching world why believers are different. These principles of conflict resolution and speaking the truth in love, they need to be woven into the very fabric of who we are. It just can't, it's got to bleed out of you. And the way it bleeds out of you is you put God's word in to instruct, equip, train, so you're ready to rebuke in grace and truth. So why is this important? Let me run through these really quickly. Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort, keep the spirit of the unity and the bond of peace. Romans 12:1, be transformed. You know, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 8:29, I've already talked about it. We need to be conformed to the likeness of his son. So what has to exist to have these conversations? I'm just going to direct you to Psalm 119, and it really just teaches you about how can a young man keep his way pure by hiding God's word in his heart. And so you can't give what you don't possess. That is super, I think I said that about 11 times. It's very important. You've got to adopt these principles. You've got to spend time just with God and have them bleed over you. I am not naturally a kind person. I have to work at kindness. I have to work at being soft and gentle and loving. But I think my wife would attest, I have changed. I still got a lot of work to do, but he's growing me in these areas because of my community, because of my wife, my children, and God's word and his spirit. So how do we have these hard conversations? Admonish one another with all wisdom, Colossians 3:16. If we have time at the end, I'm going to spend a little bit more time in Colossians 3 just because I think it's so important. Okay, how and when are you supposed to have these conversations? How and when? Okay, when is whenever necessary. I mean, Wagner's the king of this. You know, he will just stop everything and enter a difficult conversation if he believes it's going to honor God and glorify the Lord and serve other people. And I've really learned a lot from that, just not in a difficult way, but in a winsome way, just to engage the discussion and try and get people talking about biblical principles. Okay, so the when is whenever necessary, and the how is with grace and truth. All right, two different reasons to admonish someone. Number one, you're just trying to warn them. You're trying to help them see that they may be developing a pattern of sin or actually diving into sin. And so we do that because of 2 Timothy 4:2, which says, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Okay, always, second thing, make sure your admonition is based on Scripture. You've heard that here from the beginning, but it is essential. Your opinion is valueless. God's word is limitless. So just make sure when you're going to help shepherd people that you're using God's word to communicate those truths. Realize that initially the last 2%, the hard conversation is going to sting. Be sensitive to that fact. You're admonishing a person, but it will benefit them. And it ultimately, if done in a God-honoring way, it will strengthen your relationship. You want to have your community really begin to connect with each other. Have a few difficult conversations and bring out issues you've never raised with one another. And you'll see your community launch into a new level of relationship. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. That's Hebrews 12:11. Well, let me leave you with one final thing. The opposite of love is not hate. Okay? The opposite of love is indifference. We cannot be indifferent people. Because of what Christ has done for us, because he's called us into the community of both the believing and the lost, He's asking us to connect deeply with one another, sharpen, shepherd, equip, admonish, rebuke, and love each other. And so we need to understand how this perspective of really helping one another in the last 2% is truly loving. So grateful for this time. I'm going to end because it's time to end, but go back to Colossians 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, patience, gentleness, goodness. Bear with one another, forgive one another's grievances. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, but over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Bless you all. Good stuff.